The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Dynatrace. Explore career opportunities at Dynatrace, a leading software observability and security company where your passion thrives, innovation leads, and well-being matters. Visit careers.dynatrace.com. LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, founder and CEO of Diverse and Engaged, Wall Street alum, top WB CEO, and a LinkedIn top voice. I'm here with my co-host, Mita. Hey there, Mita.
I'm Mita Malik, a LinkedIn top voice, a business leader, a mom, and now an author. My new book, Reimagine Inclusion, Debunking 13 Myths to Transform Your Workplace, is now available for pre-order on Amazon. So please go ahead and get yourself a copy and check out the link in our show notes as well.
She's an amazing storyteller. She tells stories here on the pod, but then she writes and converts these stories places like Harvard Business Review and all of those other saucy, glossy, bossy publications that you all read. Entrepreneur, what, Fast Company, Inc., everything, right? Let me come back.
Adweek.
Yes. No, this is us. Our listeners, they know, they've been here with us. But in any event, Mita and I, we started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces from my perspective as a Black woman, and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman. And at our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy detail out, but then we provide you with tips that you need on not how to survive, but how do you thrive in organizations wherever you are. So, Mita, why don't you tell them what we're talking about today?
Drum roll, please. Okay, Dee. So, you know, we have such an engaged community. We love you all. Thank you for being at the Brown Table Talk with us. We have been taking audience questions. People have been reaching out to Dee and I over LinkedIn messages, Instagram. So one of our listeners had the following question. So the topic is, how do you handle a bad performance review? How do you handle a bad performance review? Is the season of performance reviews. Dee and I are going to unpack it all. We're going to spill the tea like we always do. We're going to keep it real here. Then we're going to leave you some tips at the end. But Dee, as I read the question coming in, I was like, oh, this is a heavy one.
Yeah, it is.
What say you, Dee? You know I've got stories, but I know you I can tell that you have a first thought that just came into your head.
Yeah, I do. I remember the time I worked for super, super sharp woman. She was the only woman at, it's so long ago, I'm going to say the name because it was such a positive experience. It was Merrill Lynch, and she was the only woman. Yes, I have fond memories. Thank you, Merrill Lynch. That is whatever you all
thank you,
are.
Merrill.
Yes, and Debbie Aldridge, thank you wherever you are. If anybody knows her, I've been trying to find her.
You talk about her a lot. You've mentioned her a few times.
You've heard me. When I tell you, you know, I'm almost getting emotional because even though, you know, it was my very first job experience, she was super sweet. She was the only woman. She was a white woman. She was super gorgeous, but she was super bad. When I tell you bad assery, let me tell you something. And I remember her direct reports submitted their performance reviews. When I tell you she let them have it because they were sexist and they were racist. Now, this was a long time ago, everybody. So we're all good now. But she sent them back. She sent her.
Wow.
Now, just let's set the scene. She's an SVP long time ago. And her direct reports submitted the reviews. She sent them back because she had questions. And I remember even being super young at my first job, there were inequities, disparities, and she made them justify why. It was interesting to watch. So that is, yeah, that was my immediate thought. But I know you have stories, so I want to dig into being on the other side of what I saw when I was working with and for Debbie and her direct reports. They were all men. Right. She was the only woman at that level. So tell us the story, Mita.
I don't know. I have so many stories. My head is swirling. Here's the thing. I have had in my career, you have the times when the performance review is valid. We all have areas of opportunity, right?
Yeah.
But when we say bad performance review, that sits heavy and emotional for me, because it actually leads me to a place of times where I've received reviews that were filled with bias. And it was more, there was something else other than my performance. But I'll tell the first story I have is one of my very first roles in marketing. I had my performance review. And this is what this manager decides to do. I know, Dee, you and Diverse and Engaged and your team are training leaders all day long. And we talk a lot about leadership and development being at the core of this work. Mm-hmm. And 360 reviews, right? So this manager decided to do 360 review on me. I had just like my first job in marketing, right? The individual decides to take all that information and print it out, like the raw comments, the anonymous comments. It's probably like 20 pages. This happened to me twice in my career. And interestingly, no. I'm just going to be honest, like we are. The first was a white man. The second was a white woman. This happened to me twice in my career. Leaves me in a conference room to read all these comments by myself. I'll be back. Take a look at your anonymous review. I'll be back in like 15 minutes. I'm like bawling by the time this individual comes back, because what this individual doesn't do, which I do for my team, is you look at themes, because sometimes people are unkind. Mita doesn't belong here. Doesn't know what she's doing. She's not speaking up in meetings. I'm not sure what comments she's adding. People type this stuff in. It's like the trolls in social media. People type the most unkind things in. This manager printed it out and left me in a conference room to read it alone, gave me 15 minutes, and came back to deliver my review. So to me, that's not just a bad performance review. You're trying to break the person, because what a seasoned leader will do is I get performance review feedback on D360, I will then read through it and find the themes. And I will remove the unkind, hurtful things when you know there's something off. When someone's like, mm-hmm. Mita doesn't belong here. Mm-hmm. Mita doesn't know what she's doing. Like, what's the point of reading someone that or letting them read mm-hmm. that?
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to me twice in my career. Twice in my career, a manager has done that to me.
Wow. But you know what, Mita? It's not just a bad review. It's bad leadership. That is not a leader.
Yes. Yes.
That is not a leader. And I think the problem is, I mean, there's so many things that are wrong with that. Like just not having the ability. And then, you know what? No, first it's the racism, right? It's the microaggressive sort of behavior of I needed support to deliver what I really wanted to say, but I didn't have the heart to say. That's actually what was happening there. She needed support for this othering. Like they, mm-hmm. I feel like, and so it helped them to make their case, it helped them to, I don't know the word that I want to say, but I think that was just a building.
I would add to this story, because people, I know we get this, people will write to us or message us on LinkedIn and say, why is it relevant that you're sharing how the manager identifies? Like, why are you calling out how they identify? And the reason I'm doing that is because on this team, there was a white man who was a colleague of mine, and he was so supportive. I loved him. So after this happens with the manager, because performance reviews, it's a large company. They're happening across the board. So mm-hmm. I tell my colleague what happens. He's mortified. That same manager didn't do that to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That didn't happen. So just to put underline the point, right? That did mm-hmm. not happen mm-hmm. to someone else who was a white man, but it happened to me.
Yeah.
On the same team.
Unbelievable. And so, yeah, so the why would we share this? I think there's a stat that is about 76% of working women of color in the workplace experience this kind of behavior, you know, bias and stereotypes and such. I have to find the statistic, but about 76%. So it's already, you know, we already know about our experiences. There's always, however, the naysayers that say, well, how do we know that to be true? First of all, believe us, believe our stories. Yeah, but right now there's lots of reports and research out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that stat, I believe it, just to clarify the stat, I believe it's something to the effect of 76% of Americans say they have a negative, or we know they have a negativity bias against women of color in the workplace. That there it is. Yeah. So,
you know, there is I have another story. I have so many bad performance review stories. Now we're going to go down a rabbit hole. I'll pick and choose. But another story is I come back from maternity leave after having my daughter Priya. And I hadn't worked for 6 months of the year. I've talked about this publicly. I've written about it. So I didn't work for 6 months. I actually took extra unpaid leave because at the time there wasn't the leave that there should have been at this company. That's been rectified since then. I got the lowest performance rating you can get, D, that year. I showed back up to work on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being...
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Dynatrace. Imagine a workplace where your passion shapes innovation, your well-being is a priority, and your team is made up of curious and devoted people bringing bold ideas to life. That's Dynatrace, a leading observability and security company enabling software worldwide to work perfectly, even the software you might be running right now. Explore job opportunities worldwide at careers.dynatrace.com.
Hey, I'm Michael Kovnat, host of The Next Big Idea Daily. The show is a masterclass in better living from some of the smartest writers around. Every morning, Monday through Friday, we'll serve up a quick 10-minute lesson on how to strengthen your relationships, supercharge your creativity, boost your productivity, and more. Follow The Next Big Idea Daily wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the best. One being, you probably should figure out what's going on and move on, right? Mm-hmm. Or figure out why you're getting that type of rating. I got a 2. And why? I said to the manager, this was the same, another manager who printed out all this feedback. And I said, but I didn't work for half the year. Well, the business fell off the cliff this summer. I was like, I wasn't here this summer. I said, so how are you giving me 2 rating? I don't understand. I was like, I was just blown away that I would get a 2 rating when I had gone on leave. And so what I chose to do in that moment, and I still rewind that, D, if I should have done this, but she delivers this to me, she gives it to me. And sometimes, you know, because there had been other things going on in my relationship with this manager, I just knew that's not how I wanted to play my chips. There was no way they were going to make that 2 into a 3. So at that point, I thought, what was the point? We talk about this. How am I going to use my energy? So I said to her, I want you to go back to the executive team and to let them know this. You cannot be giving women who are on leave a 2 rating who did not have any indication of areas of opportunities before they went out on leave. You cannot do this to other people.
Good for you.
And that's what I said. I didn't ask her to change the rating, but I made it a point to make a statement, and she was scared, D. She was like, write it down. She was scared. How do you do that when someone's on leave? Because many companies, and listen, leaders, I'm asking you to listen to this. Allies, listen in. Many large companies have that bell curve. You know the bell curve, right? Mm-hmm. You only have so much money. You've got to force the rating curve. Watch out for anybody who's on leave. Anyone who's from a historically marginalized group. Anybody who all of a sudden you're seeing was a top rater and then they've dropped. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, good for you for speaking up. But you know what I like even more? That you weighed the outcome. Because I do think as women of color, there's so many things that are happening that are wrong. or so many offenses. Let's say there's so many offenses in the workplace, and you do have to weigh how to respond, because of course it'll cost you your job in a lot of instances. And that's a lot of the fear I think that women of color have. But I love that you weighed the outcome and said, you know what, I'm going to speak up. This isn't going to serve me, but it's going to serve. Actually, it's going to serve other women here, but it's also, it could potentially help the company. You know why? Because if the company continued to do that, again, there's so much that is under review and up for investigation right now, right? Since the diversity tipping point, which was the period beginning May of 2020, when corporate America, you know, began reprioritizing and acknowledged that yes, Houston, we do have a problem, and it is, systemic. And so now things are under review. So if that would happen today, and if it's still happening today, there's only a matter of time before these things are no longer acceptable. They continue to be called out. I mean, they're being called out now publicly. I think for many of us, we wouldn't think to do that in our corporate career. But guess what? Gen Z is not here for corporate in this regard. They're like, look, we will talk about you over here on this other platform. And what are you going to say? And what are you going to do about it? So I love that you weighed your outcome and then you used your voice. But this is an issue of systemic versus surface. That's a systemic issue. In other words, it's almost like, you know what it's like, Mita? It's like you were out, we play basketball, and you were out for like the five games, and then when we came back and we lost the game, and you just came into game seven, but we lost all of game five and six. You were out on leave. And you come back, and like it's Mita's fault that we lost.
Yes.
Mita wasn't even here playing the game. She's still part of the team, and because she wasn't here, we're going to blame her. You know, that's how insane it is. So, like, if we deliver it or sort of paint the picture in that way, so good for you for speaking up.
But you know what? I love what you just brought up. My entire career, even to this point, and I hate to say this, and I know people are going to, I know a lot of women of color are going to relate to this. I'm constantly calculating every decision. Yep. I'm calculating. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go up? Do I go down? And what are the consequences going to be? Right. When we go back to this idea of a bad performance review, there have been times when I have received what I thought was unfair feedback. Goals have changed. Metrics have changed. All of a sudden, this wasn't a priority for the company. I was staffed on it, but now I'm being sort of held accountable. But you all canceled the project. So now I'm getting a lower rating for that. Like, that doesn't make sense. But always, and this is part of my cultural upbringing, but I also think this is how I've been trained and coached. D gives me really hard feedback and I say, thanks for the feedback. I'm going to process it. I'm processing and I'll circle back with you. I appreciate you taking the time to share. So there have been moments where if I really feel like the feedback is off base, that's what I will say. But for me, during a performance review, I never in the moment try to go toe to toe. I take it, I process it, and in some cases, I will schedule a follow-up or I'll come back with more information. Because I think as human beings, I'll say it, we can all be defensive. And so sometimes the feedback is, sometimes there's valid feedback, right? Sometimes there's valid feedback.
Yes.
So I have to take it and think about it. And the other times I'll just call my friend DC Marshall, who will tell me, No.
That's me. That is so mean. So I'm not even going to go into it. I get upset immediately. But you know what? Yes, it is. I. You're spot on in terms of take it, process, never respond in the moment, and then come back. And I think when you return, always asking for specific examples and scenarios. When did that happen, or how? What might that look like, and what might the four or the exceeds or what might be the benchmark or the standard in terms of how that should look? Because I think a lot of leaders don't know. No, some leaders do not know how to deliver feedback. And I say that because we've been called in on projects to deliver training and development where, I mean, an organization was just hemorrhaging people of color. They were leaving. They were walking out the door. I mean, it was bad. Yeah. And the development was well-intentioned, but it did come from a chief of diversity person. And what we found at that company was their performance appraisal process was broke. It was broken. Mm. They didn't have a solid process. But number two, Mita, they didn't know how to deliver feedback. They weren't aware that their bias was showing, their racism was showing, them being the majority was showing. And so part of that is, I think for corporations or companies have a responsibility now to make sure their leaders know what they're doing. Stop promoting people if they are not responsible. Listen, if you can't get their names right, you shouldn't be a manager. Let's start there.
I was waiting for that.
That's going to be the first flag. So I already know you're not going to get this performance appraisal. I already know. Let's role play. I'm the manager, and I'm doing your performance appraisal. I already want to give you a two.
No.
Okay. Ugh. And so I'm going to call you Molly, and correct me on your name. I'm going to, no, she's too, defensive about what her name. I'm sorry. Come back. Let's come back.
You're right.
But my point is, and so just to finish that thought, because I know we have leaders and allies listening, for that company, I said, hey, you've got a bigger issue here. Your leaders, it was a very young organization. So young tech is very adolescent versus financial services, a very mature organization or industry, I should say. And so while there may be young geniuses who do their job well, they have not been equipped to have language and insight and competence, cultural competence. They may have skill and competency for their job, but they don't have the cultural competence to be able to lead people and then deliver feedback and then identify their own bias. So if your performance appraisal is you've got five people or five direct reports, and somehow, it just so happens that the people of color on your team are below standard. Like, those are just basics, but I just wanted to.
Well, and it
so
sounds that company, like,
I'm like, you're going to have a lawsuit.
Lawsuit. Well, it sounds like diverse and engaged is for hire. So for anyone listening, reach out to Dee and team if you need help. What I would say, Dee, is I want to actually take this conversation in a bit of a different direction, which is in my career, because I come from the school of DC Marshall, I learned how to play the game better. So lean in, folks. So performance review time is coming up. Here are the things I'm going to do to hedge against a bad performance review when I know there are known issues with my manager. I will keep a list. Whatever you're doing, keep listening and start a spreadsheet, start a Google Doc. You have better be keeping track of your own accomplishments. If you don't do it, no one else is going to. Every quarter, I tell my team, write down all your wins, because guess what? I'm human. I'm not going to remember it. So what you should do proactively is send to your manager your wins, or talk to them about it during a one-on-one and say, hey, I know performance review's coming up. I know you have a lot on your plate. I'm just going to send a friendly reminder, right? Do that. Do it in the self-evaluation. Okay. And then here's another thing. If the manager is going to do a 360, proactively send names. Proactively send names of people they should talk to. I'm putting DC Marshall on that list.
People you've worked with and you know who are in your corner.
Yes, yes. Let me be clear. People you've worked with, people who are your allies, go back and listen to our episode on the importance of career sponsors. So, because the manager will put the list together, right? But if you can also put some individuals on the list who know your worth, your capabilities, have evidence, facts of things that you've done, that is going to help in the performance review. So that's one way I have tried to be proactive, because early in my career, I didn't do any of that. I just thought, okay, I'm reporting into D. She's going to come with the sheet, tell me my rating, give me my, and I'm like, wow, there's so many ways I can influence that positively.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And I'll add to that, pull out the job description and also do a comparison, right? And so you can use some of the requirements of the role or just some of the language to also send in an email to say, hey, I know, you know, this is sort of what I was brought on to do. And, you know, here's just some thoughts about where I think I'm trending or tracking, you know, so on and so forth. So, because I'm going to tell you what that does for the leader who is not let's just say, savvy in delivering feedback or maybe even uncomfortable or maybe even tentative, you're giving them the language because that's what we found in working with our clients. For managers, it might have been their first time with direct reports. They didn't have language. Yep. And so you help them with the language.
So before we get into tips, I want to summarize for our audience the two things that we're talking about. I think that when we think about performance reviews and what does a bad performance review mean, in scenario A bad performance review for me could be, which has happened, I thought I was on track to be promoted. My former boss kept saying I was killing it. Go back and listen to that episode where we talk about feedback. And then I get a new manager who comes in and says, actually, you're not ready to get promoted. Here are the five things I need to see from you. And I'm pissed because I'm like, I thought I was doing everything right. And then this manager comes in and actually gives me some critical feedback because the last manager didn't give me any feedback. That could be a bad performance review in my mind, but that's really more about me accepting my areas of opportunity. The second case is, as we've talked about, a bad performance review because the manager is treating you differently, different standards for different people, manager's not equipped to give feedback, manager's dropping all this feedback all of a sudden during this 30-minute conversation you've never heard, hurtful feedback, unkind feedback. So I think as you think about this idea of a bad performance review, we need to separate those two cases, right? Separate them and then try to identify, is it this or is it that when you think about a bad performance review?
Yeah. And, you know, and so I know we're going to tips, but I want to make sure something you just said in terms of feedback, like, you know, out of nowhere, all of a sudden you see something on your performance appraisal. And the way to manage that is to ask for feedback after every big project, after every big win. And the way that we advise that, and we literally do training around this, is how do you think we did on our project, or on a scale of 1 to 5, how do you think it went? So because when you say how do you think it went, you're asking more general, and then you go specific. Oh, I think we did a great job. And oh, okay. What would be the one thing you think I did well? One thing you'd share that I could improve on, or, you know. And so, and when you have those conversations, because some of them are on the fly, on the run, some of them are formal. But if you can get some on the fly, on the run, it catches in a spontaneous moment where your manager is likely to have a positive response on the run, right? And then what do? And then you just send an email. Thank you so much for the feedback. Glad that we, you know, to learn or to know the project went well. And thank you so much for the insight in terms of my contribution being, you know, well, I like rating scales and I also advise on rating scales. So look, we can't do all of this here in the podcast, but I hope this is helpful.
I love that. You know what I also just thought about in the moments? Gosh, I should calculate. I have no idea how many performance reviews I've had at this point in my career. I've lost count. But one of the things is, if you're ever stunned in the moment, this happens to me often. I'm stunned in the moment, or I don't know what to say. You can always send an email afterwards just to say, D, thank you for taking the time to deliver the performance review. Appreciate the feedback I'm processing and look forward to continued conversations. So it acknowledges it. You're not saying you agree with it. That's not what I'm, you know, saying to say, but you're acknowledging that the person took the time to do this and you're going to circle back. You can always send an email. Always send an email.
There you go.
We're going to pause for tips. All right, Dee, I can't believe it. As usual, our time is flying by here on today's episode. So thank you all for being here. We were discussing how to handle a bad performance review. I put bad in quotes, air quotes, as my daughter Priya does. So Dee, we're going to head to the tips. I'm going to hand the mic over to you to do one and two.
All right. I am going to share tips here. And then I'm also going to share on browntabletalkpodcast.com. So tip number one is process. So process means responding, and responding means not reacting. And what does that mean? Accept the performance appraisal and circle back no less than 24 hours. So thank you for no less than 24 hours. So you never respond in real time, never respond same day. You want at minimum overnight to process all of the feedback. So that is number one, process. Number two, constantly calculating. Mita gave us this, and I think I'm going to call this the 2C or C squared. It's constantly calculate, meaning if and when your desire is to challenge, think about the outcome. How might this play out? And whether or not it would be worth it, whether or not the review or the rating will be changed. So that is number two. We're going to go to Mita for number three.
Okay, you all. Number three, it's for all of the allies here listening. Dee and I have said this before. We will say it again. Different standards for different people is canceled. Canceled, canceled, canceled. So if you are seeing Mita was a 5 rating and all of a sudden dropped to a 2, where I actually worked on like 3 initiatives with Mita, how is her performance rating a 2 coming out of this? Ask the questions. Ask the questions when you find out the information and advocate for people when you know that they deserve a rating that they've earned. That's all for today. Thank you, Dee. Thank you, LinkedIn Podcast Network. We appreciate our community. We love you so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with someone who needs to hear this conversation. Follow us on Apple and Spotify, and please leave a review, and we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.